acquired new radar at a cost of about 250 million rand. We're still in the process of closing out that project. And there are other ancillary support to the infrastructure itself. So you might have a radar that's up and operational, but your communications are down. Therefore, your target on data availability is not achieved. But we are addressing these, and if you looked at the Q1 report for 2017-18, you would notice that these are under focus. At a later stage, of course, we will talk also about how we are changing the way we think about the radar infrastructure and our entire network, and how we think we might be able to optimize what we do there. I will go, Chair, then directly to... I've already spoken, in a sense, to slide 16, which indicates the non-achievement of the percentage availability of radar data, and go to the next slide, which deals with the annual milestones for the dual career pathing program. So the next page. The dual career pathing assessment, this has been a challenge, I think, in the entity in terms of understanding fully what the implications of these were and who was being targeted. It's clear that we're targeting those in the lower end of the employment spectrum in the entity, and in particular, we're trying to target those where we need to do a transition. So as we do a transition from manual observation networks to digital networks, you need to be able to train the current cadre into that capability. So there we are slightly below target because we have only up to so far completed the assessments and the review of the criteria by which we would assess individuals. For example, you may not want to necessarily train someone who's about to retire into that capability, but you may want the younger people who come in to be trained in that respect. So we've only achieved partially on this matter, but it continues to be under review. So Chairperson, I would also move to slide 21, and honorable members, slide 21, where the issue was around the overall stakeholder satisfaction rating, which is expressed as a percentage. And here we've gone out to stakeholder surveys. The final results, in Q4, we had partially achieved this target in that our rating was 80%. And the final result, of course, for the year still put us at 85.5%, which is above the target. But for this particular quarter, we had not achieved. Under Strategic Goal 5, which is Growth and Sustainability, slide 25. Here again, we have underachieved on the regulated revenue from aviation. This again, we would understand, is volumes driven, so it's partially out of our control, the number of aircraft that come in and out, and especially movements in the country. Members would recall that you were briefed by the regulatory committee on its methodology and the model that it uses to arrive at estimates of revenue from this stream. But again, overall, I think we managed to reach our targets. The next section deals with the employment equity statistics, I would like to just highlight slide 28, where, again, in most instances, we have deviations below targets, but generally we are on course. We were on course for the year's target. In some cases, exceeding some of the targets, but the plan is this is under constant review. And I'll highlight that since I came in 4 months ago, we've now had a strategic review of the entity, and there are certain critical areas which members will start to see a difference on in the next few months based on three key strategic interventions for the entity. We are scientific, so we need interventions on the science side. We're technical, and therefore we need interventions on the technical side. But more critically, we're also service-driven. And to that extent, we need a concerted focus on those areas. I would like, with your permission then, Honorable Chair, to hand over to the acting CFO to talk to the financial matters, and then we will wrap up. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, Honorable Members. This is the financial report for the period ending 31 March 2017. In as far as revenue is concerned, we achieved 9.83% above target. Our target was 341 million, and we achieved 374 million. As far as total expenditure is concerned, we were slightly below by 5.61%. We achieved 341 million with a target of 320, with an actual, we achieved 322 million with a target of 341 million. And we realized at the end of the financial year a surplus of 23.87 million, which was mainly due to underspending on employment costs, which amounted to 9.1%, as well as overachievement in revenue of 9.83%. You can move to the next slide. Under revenue, aviation revenue, as previously reported by the CEO, for the quarter it was not achieved, but for the full year, it was achieved. We were 22.65% above target for the full year, adding about 24.55 million to the target. Non-regulated commercial revenue was achieved as well, which was 11.37 million above the target, amounting to about 63.16%. This was mainly due to the work that we do with on air quality in municipalities, especially in Emalahleni as well as the city of Tshwane, where there is some work that we do on maintenance and selling off infrastructure. Compensation of employees, I've actually spoken to that. One of the programs that we're unable to achieve was the QL career program, which amounted to about 3.5 million. It actually resulted in that positive variance of 20.2 million. And we also had a couple of vacancies, and we are trying to correct those vacancies by filling in those positions. Operational expenditure was 4 million above the target of 108, while administrative expenses were 2.93 million below the budget. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I wonder if lunch is ready. It's 1 o'clock already. Honorable Hadewe.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My main concern is with the data, radar data availability, which the industry like your farmers as well as the aviation depends on, because they need to get reliable data so that even your weather prediction depends on the data. But what you've just said on your comments, it's ESCOM failures and data communication challenges. Can you expand on that? Because to me, I don't think that will be a reason, because you've got backup generators like you previously mentioned on the presentation that was given to the portfolio on the previous occasion. Can you expand on that for? And as far as I know, we haven't had load shedding in the country. Maybe if you give more explanation on the issue, it will be able to shed some light and for me to be able to better understand what you mean by ESCOM failures. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Any comment, questions? Honorable Mabilo.
No, thanks. Let's welcome the update. In terms of your page 8, slide 17, your dual career pathing program, partially achieved. You have attempted to explain to us the reasons why. But what we don't get from you is that there's a definite timeline to ensure after your review you are able to actualize that. So can you give us more information to that? Is it when this actual target was set, your dual pathing, your criteria for that was not clearly worked out? The fact that you had to review it clearly indicate that, that your minds were not properly applied, which then means it can be elements of poor planning or bad planning. What would be your comment on that? That would be the first one. Secondly, in terms of your slide 21, page 11, according to industry, 80% of performance is considered to be satisfactory and so forth. And then you have performed under above that, 84. But then why do you still stick it as yellow? Because for us, yellow will indicate partial achievement. So is it not a mischaracterization or misclassification of that? And then in the finances, I think I missed that. But in terms of your revenue, you have collected more than you targeted, or your target. What does that mean? It means you under... Does it mean you under your target was too low that you go beyond what you have? And then what do you do? It's the same question. What do you do with the surplus or with the extra money you have collected? Thanks.
Okay, thank you. on slide number 8, there is a high-level organogram there. Can you... Can you just talk to us about the vacancy rates in terms of that organogram? Which positions have got substantive senior managers appointed? Which positions have got active? On slide number 8. Okay, CEO.
Thank you very much, Chair. Again, I hope members will also understand the explanation for the quarter versus where we are now. So, with your permission, Chair, I would like to touch on both. Because
yeah.
In answer, for example, to your last question,
okay.
That structure is no longer in place as of last week. We've had changes and restructuring in the entity. But going back to your question around quarter four, when the structure was still in place, there were quite a number of vacancies. At the executive level, so if you don't mind, Chair, I'll start with your question and move back to the others.
Okay.
So the first, the positions, as you would know, that were vacant at the time was the Chief Financial Officer was vacant. We had an acting CFO. The process of appointment of that CFO is now underway. We had a vacancy in the General Manager Commercial. The then General Manager Commercial was acting CEO at the time of the last quarter. And so there was someone who was acting in their position, and that was the Senior Manager Commercial. And then so the position was not vacant. However, the incumbent was acting in a different role.
Okay, as we speak now, I just want the current situation.
The current scenario. Okay, we've had conversations in the weather service with the board, and where we are now, we have reduced the number of general managers from 5 to 4. We call them executives. The first executive will still be the Chief Financial Officer. The second executive is Technical Services and Information Systems, where we've basically split what was called operations in the past into two separate units. The third executive is Executive Services. So all the service areas, forecasting, disaster risk reduction, aviation, etc., will be headed by one executive. And we have now merged what used to be corporate affairs and human capital management into one. So we have a new executive on regulatory, human capital and regulatory affairs. The conversations around the level below those...
So what is the status of the four?
The status in terms of occupation?
Yeah.
We have now put in two incumbents who were already general managers in respective portfolios. The two that we have assigned new responsibilities to. The CFO, as I indicated, is already under recruitment. And the services executive, that process now assessing and evaluating it for recruitment is underway with a view that we would have the full executive structure in place by the beginning of the new year. The level below that, yes.
So I just need to get clarity of the four, the new structure.
Yes, sir.
The CFO, is you are in the process of recruiting for
that. That's correct.
And then the other ones?
So we've assigned, we had a general manager operations. The general manager operations has been given the responsibility to head up the technical and infrastructure division. And we had a general manager human capital management. She has now been assigned responsibility for heading up the new division regulatory affairs. So we have, of the four executives, two who were already incumbents as general managers have been absorbed into new positions. One, which is the CFO, has now been advertised, and that process is under recruitment. So there's one vacancy, which is the services executive. That is a new position which we are now assessing and evaluating at the right level and will advertise in due course.
Okay.
So, Chair, if I may then go to...
The structure.
Yes.
Talking to underneath that.
The level below, we are now in the process of conversations about senior manager and the level below, up to manager level. I think you would see that there were opportunities there for optimization of the structure in terms of the number of positions and levels of responsibility that we have. The intention is to go to the board at its November meeting with proposals on how we optimize the structure within the available budget. The first conversation with the board at that level is on the 18th at the committee level of HR, with a proposal then moving forward to the board for final approval and ratification at its November meeting. The plan is still that we would have the full structure of the weather service, the new structure of the weather service, in place by the beginning of the new financial year. May I move on to the other questions, Chair?
Yeah.
Thank you. On the question of the partially achieved dual career pathing, I would be very loath to make any assessment, Chair, on the preparations of that by the previous executive team. Except to say that one of the things that has happened since my arrival is two things. An assessment, a reassessment of where we have skills gaps. As I indicated in the strategic plan, there are three areas where we are required to be of focus. The first is we're technical, and that touches partially on that question about radar. And as a technical entity, we have to have the requisite skill and the right skill in the right place to help us with what is our network, which is digital, and you've heard various interventions about that. Radar is just one. where we have rainfall stations, we have automatic weather stations, we have upper air soundings, etc. So all those networks require both skill at the level of technicians, but also skill at the level of management. It's fair to say that we've lacked in some of those. What this yields, and I speak to this question about was there wrong planning or otherwise, is that the focus going forward is that we do need those skills in those areas, technical. We do need skill in the services domain. So those that put together the products and services that you and I enjoy on a daily basis are required to have the requisite skill to deliver on that. And the third one is that we're scientific. Our entire enterprise is based on sound science. And to have that, we need the requisite skills to be able to deliver on that. So part of the review of this dual career pathing is also in line with that. Within those various aspects, we already have individuals in place. But they may not necessarily have the requisite skill that we need. So you might have a forecaster who doesn't necessarily have a services background. So how do you fill that gap? So there's a rethinking around the dual career pathing, which will enable us to achieve our target without necessarily relying on a new market. And I used the example in my presentation where you have an individual who is highly skilled on fixing a manual station. But as an entity, we're migrating to a digital platform. How then do you train that individual so that you don't leave them by the wayside, but you take them with? And we've done this successfully, I think, in the past when I was here, where we closed a maintenance shop, which was helping us literally fix analog stations and train some of those individuals to do digital work, who are still with us today. Some have retired, of course, along the way. So that's part of the intention with a dual career pathway. But I think having attended the first meeting when I was here and the explanation was not very clear from the weather service, we've gone back and had a rethink around this issue, and it's quite clear that going forward, it has to be aligned. Whatever we do for career pathing of staff, has to be aligned to those three strategic areas of the organization. So for Q4, the target was not was partially achieved because there was an assessment done. And since that review, we're basically correcting path going forward in 17-18. The question, one other question that was raised was around the target. In the one quarter and whether, in fact, we hadn't misstated the target when overall the stakeholder satisfaction rating we gave as an annual target of 86% and the fourth quarter target was 80%. The final result is that we're basically at 85.5 for the year. That's you could round it off and say it's 86% and therefore you've achieved the target. But I think in the strictest sense of the discipline, even if it's 0.5% below, you probably still want to find out why it is that and how you might then go forward and correct it. And here we have still a lot of work to do in understanding what the South African community requires. I'm advocating for a change in emphasis. The change in emphasis is the following. We have 155 million South Africans, 55 million South Africans to reach every day. Every day. That's our target as an entity. And so everything that we do has to then be informed by how we reach those 55 million South Africans through the various channels through which they may access the information that we provide. And that's a shift in strategic direction away from purely technical or technological to how we may be of service to the South African population with this life-saving and critical information. And so there's, and I'm simply raising this chair as a shift that you will see in the way that we set targets for the balance of 17-18 as we review in the midterm, but also how we set new targets for 18-19 going forward. And the intent is very simple. 55 million South Africans every day reached through the means of their preference on accessing this life-critical information and in their various formations. So some of what we see as targets, which we have put in 17-18 to correct what was not achieved in Q4 of the previous financial year, will also undergo further review in the current midterm review. And so you might see some slight different reporting going forward. But that's, again, in agreement with the department, whether they agree with us on that score. The question on the radar data availability and the fact that there may not have been, remember in Q4 of the past year, and again I stand corrected, is that we were having real problems in some areas with power availability. So it might not have been power outages nationally, but there were very specific problems. And the difficulty, of course, with these is that if you don't have a proper maintenance plan, which we did not have, which includes spare parts and spare inventory, plus uninterrupted power supply in the right places at the right time. The second one is that, of course, one of the issues raised by the Auditor General was that in some cases we have contracts with those that supply us diesel, for example, who refuse for us to provide us diesel without advanced payments. So you have as a small supplier who doesn't want to have a contract with government because the government takes forever to pay. Those are supply chain issues, but they have a material impact on radar availability and your ability to have uninterrupted power supply when you need it most. Those issues are now under review, and we have basically put in a very solid plan in the last 3 months of how we make sure that those radar are available. I've shifted the bar. We talk about 80% data availability. If we're serious about disaster risk reduction, our radar need to be available 96% of the time. 96%. And that's the target to which the organization now works towards. It has meant a rethink in radar infrastructure, not only from a technological perspective, in other words, do we have the right radar in the right place? And then how do we ensure that that radar is accessible and available 96% of the time? We have a network of 15 radar. It's clear that we might not get to the target of 96 in 1 year. So we've come up with a strategy which divides that radar network into the most critical parts where we will have 96% availability all the time when we require them, and we will inject the necessary resources to do that. And then you'll have a second tier which is available 80% of the time, and a third tier that's available perhaps 70% of the time. But in the process, we've already thought about how do you optimize the distribution of this radar network where you have the right radars in the right place which serve you, give you optimal data, not only availability, but data quality for the purposes for which you require. And that we are able to do by moving some radar around, which we will do already this year, and we'll still do this within budget, as is approved at present. And so part of that plan also, Chair, includes a very robust maintenance plan, which is anticipatory and also involves, and there we are fortunate, we've attracted a very highly skilled individual, a senior manager for technical services, who is not a meteorologist and doesn't come from our community, is an engineer by training, and highly skilled individual who's already making a difference in the 2 months that they've been with us. I'll leave the other questions on finance to the acting CFO, and then I think we may have touched on all the questions so far. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, CEO. The issue on the revenue actual versus target is we have indeed exceeded the budget. The main reason for that, as I explained earlier, we received an additional 6 million rand during the year from the city of Tshwane as well as Mpumalanga municipality. This is a project that we only got during the course of the financial year, so we couldn't at the time when we received those funds adjust the budget because the time for adjusting the budget has already passed. Then the other 16 million came from aviation income, where we've actually exceeded the budget by 16 million due mainly to volumes. The volumes are set up by the Regulating Committee on Meteorological Services, so the budget went up. The actual went up more than the budget. And what usually happens in that instance is that in the following year, then the current value charge will actually go down as a result of that over recovery. So in the next, which is not this current financial year, which is not 2017-18, for 2018-19, because we're always a year, two years behind. So the tariff for 2018-19 will go down by the equivalent amount that the budget was exceeded by. What are we going to do with this additional amount? We have applied to National Treasury through DIA for a retention of surplus. We have not had any capital expenditure over the last few years. The last time that we had one was about 2 years ago, where we got about 50 million rands, which we used to purchase our supercomputer, which has since packed up. It's about 95% fully utilized, and the organization is in dire need of a supercomputer, because if we don't upgrade the supercomputer that we have, it will be a big problem for the organization. We need about 35 million for that, and we have applied for 31 million rands in terms of retention of surplus funds. We have received 35 million rands in terms of capital expenditure for the next financial year, but that is only going to be used for the maintenance of the radar system, the LDNS, which is the lightning detection network system, as well as the automatic weather stations. So it has not been allocated towards the supercomputer. The retention of funds, should we get those, will be used solely for the supercomputer. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for that. We'll still, as I said, have an opportunity to engage on the annual report. I can observe from here that the CEO has got some vision for the organization. You're new, and maybe we must give you time to put your plans in place. And implement them, and then as you continue, we will then see whether there are results in terms of what you have just articulated to the committee. But I must say that the vision looks impressive as you articulate it, and we wish you the best of luck in implementing that. We are going to break now for brief lunch. It's now, what time is it now? After 1:00.